the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're going to bring on this hour, we had a couple of guests scheduled. We were going to bring back on Bobby and Steve Dooley about the disintegration of Facebook. These are two people that are sending images of themselves, and they're married. And they send images of themselves nude or semi-nude or in provocative poses. They don't have any problem sending these and exchanging these with people on Facebook. They don't physically interact with these people. It's just their way of, I don't know, warming their marriage up or something. But we also want to get Vernon Dozier on the line. And we, I think, are going to get Don Mixabud.
Yeah, trying to track him down right now. His girlfriend say he's probably out getting a drink.
Okay, that's fine, but I don't need all that information. His girlfriend said he's out getting a drink. Isn't this like a school night or something?
I don't know. Maybe he don't have no classes.
Yeah, but I probably don't have a class.
Well, Don Mix is a professor at University of Washington. We'll get his take as well on on Occupy Wall Street, which, as you know, was subjected to police eviction. The Occupy protesters have returned to the park, but they have not been allowed to bring back their tents. In other words, they're not allowed to ostensibly spend the night there. But we'll see how well that that actually transpires. We'll see whether or not the cops have been able to keep them out. But this was a judge ruling that they no longer had right to access to this park. Vernon Dozier joining us from Glendale, California. Vernon, you were very vocal last month when this first started and when the evictions in Oakland took place. You were very happy. How are you feeling tonight?
Phil, tonight I'm feeling just as, I guess you could say I'm feeling just as good as I did when the Oakland, as you say, evictions took place. I saw the police act very decisively, moving in and returning returning this part of New York City to the actual people, the real 99%, which are the people that got to get up in the morning, go to work, and make the best out of life, and not jam up a park, and these are, if you look at them, these people in this Occupy Wall Street and this kind of nonsense, in my opinion, they are probably, in some instances, they're probably some of the homeless there. I think they're mentally, mentally ill or what have you. You can see them abusing police. You can see the police trying to do their job, which is to move them out of there. People trying to provoke the police into acts of violence. People trying to provoke the police into causing more of a scene. So these people that you see in the Occupy Wall Street scenario here, they want police intervention. They want the police to come in, and hopefully they can, in their minds, they can provoke the police into a baton swinging scene of mayhem. And I think they would love it, and I think they would just love it if a police officer swung his baton and broke it right across the face of somebody and fractured someone's skull, because then they got themselves an excuse to, you know, keep on acting like, I hate to say it, just a pack of douchebags that they are. And I think you're going to see here in the next several hours as this continues, I think you're going to see some real, get down to it, homemade, nut-cutting, some real good police work here. Any of these people want it, they got it. Come get some.
All right. So one of the things you said that was interesting was that the police, that the protesters, the Occupy Wall Street protesters, would love it if the police busted somebody's face open, because then they have an excuse to provoke even more violence. Where have you seen instances of that?
Well, I think I just saw a video clip on TV. This is a police officer. Somebody swung a guitar at this police officer, and the police officer was restrained by a fellow officer, who restrained him and said, "No, don't take the bait." So I think what you got here, the Occupy Wall Street people are looking to get someone's face broken. They're looking to have someone's face smashed into a. I mean, I the way I feel about it, I'd love to go down there, and I swear to God, I'd love to go down there and see if somebody wants to, you know, step up to the plate.
Yes. Well, I mean, this is not about the average citizen. We want our police officers to take care of this stuff.
Well, yeah, I know, but the way I'm looking at things, I'm looking at this, I'd love to go down there and have someone take their batting practice. You know, there's nothing that I like better than to see a bunch of people who have said that they're going to just do it the way they want to do it, and the laws can go straight to hell, and the police can go straight to hell, and the real 99%, the people got to get up in the morning and do a job and go to work, they can go straight to hell, okay? And the media can go to hell, and I can go to hell, you can go to hell, everyone can go to hell. The only people that are not going to hell, in their mind, are the Occupy Wall Street people who are sitting there in their own filth. They smell like, I don't even want to approach the subject of how they smell. They probably look like something out of a nightmare. They're living in their own filth, sleeping in their own waste. And then they get up in the morning and sing songs, and dance, and chant in their own waste. It's beyond comprehension, you know.
All right, well, okay, so the judge ruled that they get moved out of there, and they were, and now they're coming back without their tents.
That's what I mean. I don't think this is over, and I think the police, you have got to be kidding me, and I don't think the cops are stupid. I think they know that they've still got some work to do. These people are coming back without their tents. That means that ostensibly, as you said, they're not going to be sleeping there. Well, guess what? These are people that have no problem sleeping in a puddle of their own filth. So why would they mind sleeping outdoors without a tent over their head? These are people that don't mind dancing and singing, sleeping, and even having sex in a field of human waste. So why would they mind sleeping outside?
Well, you don't know that that's true. Now, you're really engaging in some real hyperbole. I mean, this is just over-the-top description of these people. I mean, I understand that there was a problem.
Hey, look, there's a friend of mine who's a police officer. He said to me, I hope those cops are going in there with the rubber glove, you know, the, the latex gloves?
Yeah.
He said, I hope those New York cops are going in there with plenty of those septic wipes and those latex gloves, because he said, you know, when you go in and break up a demonstration like that, you might as well be cleaning a public toilet. That's what it's going to be like. When you go in and put your hands on the people that are in that Occupy Wall Street, you might as well be sticking your hands right into a urinal. Okay? I mean, that's what we're talking about.
And all right, so they're dirty. What about the Vernon, if I could just ask you this, what about the message that they wanted to send about the way things are run in this country, where the focus is in terms of industry, where the focus is in terms of business? Are we talking about making things? Are we talking about making money?
Well, that's what you think it's about. And if that's what it was really about, Phil, I'd support it. But I don't think they know what it's about. I think they just wanted to spend a few nights laying in their own filth. I think they wanted to know what it was like. I think they wanted to bring their girlfriend into it. I think they wanted to have a Woodstock in the middle of... I think they wanted to have Woodstock without the good music and without the rain. I think they wanted to have a Woodstock where... It's like a Woodstock of stink. It's like a stench. It's almost... You could call it stench-stock if you wanted to. You know what I'm saying, Phil? I mean, I don't mean to be funny.
No, I don't know what you're saying.
You don't know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. What do you mean, stench-stock?
I mean, I'm telling you... What do you...
Okay, you have a political point of view, and...
No, it's not. It's a public health issue. These people stink. They look like they stink. I don't know what kind of disease, and it's a damn good thing that the New York City police went in there and started moving these people out of there, because I'm going to tell you something right now. There's such a thing as typhoid. There's such a thing as tuberculosis. You know, you get enough people together... And the stink and the stench, and pretty soon you got disease, friend. And
well, I don't think they're in danger of that.
You don't? Are you a public health officer?
No, but neither are you. And I don't think they were in danger of that.
Well, why do you think they busted this thing up? Because you get enough of these people together and there's no sanitation, and the next thing you know, you got a typhus outbreak, and brother, you better run for the hills. You know.
Well, we do have a vaccine for that now, and it's not like it's the 18th century, okay?
Well, isn't that nice? Feel comforted, Mr. Henry, that a bunch of people...
No, I'm not saying that you should feel comforted. I'm just saying that it's not the health... It would not be the health risk that it was. However, you're right.
Well, I'm telling you, with all these people down there stinking that place up like it's a cow... Like, you might as well be in a stockyard in Chicago the way it stinks. And you know, here's the thing that really makes me angry, Phil. people, the minute a cop comes in and says, you have to move on, and they don't move, and then the cop says, okay, you want some of this? You got it. And he brings that nightstick down, and he goes ahead and just takes a nice, good swing. What do they want to do? They want to go crying to mama. See, the minute they say to a cop, hey, pig, I'm not moving, and the cop says, okay, I'm within my rights now, I got to move you, and he takes that PR-24, he lifts that leg up like Melot, and he just swings for the fences. And now all of a sudden, when they go, where's my mama? So I think you've got a whole bunch of people in that park in New York City that are acting like a bunch of babies. And the minute the cops come in and say, okay, the party's over, looks like we got to take a bar of soap and a scrub brush to all you people. So line up on the left. Those of you that are clean enough to be let back into society, into the normal society of human beings, you may move on down the street. Just get your asses out of here. The rest of you people are going to have to lock up, hose you down, disinfect you, de-louse you, put you in front of a judge. All of this costs the people money, Phil. Okay? The minute anybody says that to them, they all want their mama. So,
all right, well, hold the line. We're going to bring on, wow. So there's one side of it. We're going to bring on Don Mixa and others in a moment to kind of counterbalance this. Our number 877-876-PHIL, Occupy Wall Street, and what's been happening there. Right now, I believe the police have, essentially the police have stated no more spending the night. People have returned to Zuccotti Park, no tents. So it's, hey, it's America is what it is, folks. It's America. Have no fear. It's America. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Don Mixa, and we got Don Mixa on the line, I know, from the University of Washington. Also, Don Vernon Dozier is with us from Belmar Academy. And, Don, welcome to the program.
Phil, it's always a great pleasure.
And, Vernon, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, Phil.
All right. Don, you just heard Vernon's take. What's your take on Occupy Wall Street?
Well, Vernon gave it a lot of... obviously, you know, he sees it one way, I see it a different way. What I'm seeing Occupy Wall Street, from my point of view, is what you said, Phil. It's America. These are people that are sick and tired of the gouging of the American workforce by the wealthy. They're sick and tired of the appropriation of the people's wealth to be dispersed.
What do you want to ask
you? Hold on.
Can I finish? You can finish if you want to, but I want to tell you, I've taken great exception to that. Can I just say something here, Phil?
Hold on, let him finish.
Yeah, thank you. The people have had their wealth, have had their work, have had the sweat of their brow appropriated by the wealthy. And America today is no different than the great Lena Wertmuller film. I don't know if you ever saw it called Swept Away. It was something that was done by Madonna and her boyfriend, and they butchered it. They butchered it alive. Lena Wertmuller's Swept Away, Phil, the original with Giancarlo Giannini, was a brilliant take on the class war. And this, the pig is represented by capitalism, some blonde, a oiled-up blonde. She's got on the Band de Soleil. She's in a very, very skimpy bikini. You can almost see everything. And she's laying on the deck, and Giancarlo Giannini decides that, look at that pig. And then they're swept away to an island. And guess what? The pig now has to do the bidding of the guy. Why don't you tell him how that ends? What's that? Why don't you tell him how it ends? I'm going to tell him how it ends. It ends. You know what?
I know how it ends.
You didn't want to tell you how it ends. It ends. Whoa. It ends when they get back to the dock, and the communist, the guy, has to go back to his fat wife and eight kids, and the pig, the tan. It's difficult for me to talk about it because I was married to a pig like that, right there. See, Phil, this is I love how these people it becomes personal. And Mr. Mixa, with all respect, Professor Mixa, you say that, you know, these pigs, this and all that. And guess what? You were married to some blonde. Was she blonde? Yeah, she was a blonde.
All right.
And she looked like that girl in Swept Away?
Yes.
Okay. And she's wearing a bikini, and she's all oiled up, ready to go. And she took advantage of you. And what I'm saying is I think a lot of this is personal. And just as Don said there, you know.
Let me take a phone call here. We got R.C. on the line in Altadena, California. Go ahead, R.C.
Yeah, Phil, great show as always. Really enjoy it. We're at Bradley Military Academy, and there's a lot of us that is listening right now. Biff Stevenson, Chris Sorensen, and a bunch of other guys. I wanted to just address my comments to Professor Mixa. I mean, sir, you know, with all due respect, you ought to be called Professor Mixed Up, the way you's talking.
Yeah, like I've never heard that before. No, that sounds like a very good idea, though. What is? Change your name to Professor Mixed Up.
Yeah, you ought to change your name to Professor Mixed Up, and all the things that. Give me the phone. Yeah, but Phil, we really like your show.
All right, thanks a lot. Thank you. Goodbye. Let's go to Jim Sadler. Dr. Sadler, how you doing, sir?
No, I'm good. I wanted to take the other point of view. I think that that Vernon Dozier, or should I call him Vernon, you know, Dopey or something.
Well, that's not even close to Professor Mixed Up.
I think it's pretty good for...
Oh, yeah, I think he's right. It's not that good.
Well, I'm trying to defend you.
Stay off my side, will you? I can defend myself.
Yeah.
He wasn't able to do Professor Mixed Up. He hit it out of the park with that.
No, I don't think he did. I think, here's what I want to say to you.
You might as well get to what it is you want to say, because you ain't going to come up with anything as near as good as Professor Mixed Up.
First of all, I'm going to have to hang up, Phil.
Why?
Because Mickey Rourke is on TV wearing sunglasses. And boy, that puts me in a bad mood because I'm... And his face. What happened to him?
This guy, what are you, gay or something?
No, I am not gay.
Who cares what Mickey Rourke looks like?
What did you call in to say?
I called in to take exception to Mr. Dozier saying that that he would enjoy going into the park and breaking somebody's head open.
Well, I will tell you right now, I would. The way those people are...
That is not civilized.
It's more than not civilized. Let me say something here. You can't go into a park and start to break open heads and spill brains because because why? Because you're just sadistic. That's why. I'm not sadistic. I just don't like to walk near a park and have it smell like a zoo. Is that all right with you? Can a zoo smell like a zoo, but we're human beings? Why does it get to smell like a zoo? I don't know that it smells. If it smells like a zoo, and if that's what those people have chosen to smell like, and that is the democratic selection of those people to stink like they're... to stink like it's a very, very, very hot afternoon at the zoo, then that's what they want to smell like. And you're just going to have to stick your nose into it, breathe in deeply, and learn to love it. Hey, I'm never going to learn to love that. You must be out of your mind.
Are you serious, Professor?
I'm very serious. I'm very serious. You know?
Well, I think that that's the democratic way.
You know, sir, what is your name, Dr. Sandler?
Yeah.
If you open your mouth and say one more word, I'm going to come through the phone I'm going to come through the phone and repair your tongue. That's how much you're driving me out of my mind.
You can't talk to me like that.
That's it. I'm coming through the phone. Hey, hold on for a minute.
Wait a minute.
Oh, my God, what are you doing?
I told you I'd fix your tongue. How's that?
What I say, what a nutty place.
Thank you.
Would you put these guys on hold before I lose my mind?
Wow.
Go through the phone and fix your tongue. 877-876-PHIL. Here in a world-famous Phil Henry show, we're talking here with... Don Mixa, Vernon Dozier, and a couple of callers about Occupy Wall Street, and just did see Mickey Rourke on TV, and he does look bad. There's no question about that.
What's wrong with him anyway?
I don't know. His kisser looks like... Did he get a facelift or something? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I think he did get a face... He got that unnatural look like it's a facelift or something.
Mickey Rourke used to be a... He's a big dude, isn't he?
Yeah, he looks pretty big.
But he had to buff up for that movie, The Wrestler, too, so. Nonetheless, he's, yeah, it is, it's either a bad facelift or something's going on there. All right, but hey, Dr. Sadler had his tongue fixed, so we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Don't you ever talk to me.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Vernon Dozier along the line with us here as we talk about Occupy Wall Street and your phone calls if you care to join us. Vernon, we got a couple of people call. You've heard them. One of the gentlemen saying that you're just being very gratuitous with this commentary about the cops moving everybody out, busting heads, the place is filthy. You've been leaning on this lack of sanitation thing, you know.
That, Phil, that is exactly what this is about. I mean, this is about the city of New York saying, thank you, but you people have got to move on because we've got a health hazard. We've got a lot of things going on here. And if you want typhoid and all these other things that break out when human beings and waste collects and there isn't sanitation and there isn't a clean, you know, it's not cleaned up, well, then you got yourself you're going to have yourself the time of your life, man. You're going to have the time of your life with a little thing called typhoid. You know that there was a woman back called at the turn of the century. Her name was not turn of this century, turn of other century, called Typhoid Mary. You heard about that?
Yeah, that was a long time ago when typhoid was not yet under control, and she had contracted it, and she was considered a carrier.
That's right. They quarantined her. Do you know that today? In 2000 and whatever, you know, in 2000 America, you wouldn't be able to do that because somebody would be screaming their guts out about their civil rights, that they have the civil right to go out and infect a human being with typhoid and have their and get their kicks doing that.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a gentleman here. This is Adam.
Hi.
Hi, Adam. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I hear in a lot of these arguments, other than the hygiene issue, that there's no unified message. I feel like all these arguments are about not validating the words that are being said. Like, there's a message, and the message is that 1% controls 40% of the nation's capital, thus 40% of the nation's free speech according to the Supreme Court rulings. Money is now free speech. Now they control 40%. 1% controls 40%.
Well, when you say money is now free speech according to Supreme Court rulings, you're getting into a... Now you've politicized something. Let's stick to what we do know, which is this math. 1%. So what? Mm-hmm. So what?
So what?
Yeah.
Why so what? Well, essentially, it's like, so what because...
Well, why so? What are you going to do, man? If you spread all the bread around, do you think it's going to be better?
I don't think anything's going to get better without a lot of revamping of thought.
Well, there you go. There, I agree with you there. What do you think, Vernon?
I don't know what either one of you guys is talking about. All I'm saying is, if this is such a unified movement and these people are all together and they got their act together and they're all, you know, they're real clear on what they want to do, how come they can't clean up their filth? And why does the city of New York got to come in with a fire hose and clean them and hose them all up? You know,
don't have to.
I don't.
People have been trying.
What's that?
No, but it needs volunteer. We're volunteer based. We're not for profit. We're trying to make money. We're people in the middle of the street trying to get help from people in the street. We're trying.
Well, they're not
to
helping, are they? Well, they're not helping you. Where they're not helping you. So how good is your movement if the very people that are in your movement don't want to help you clean it up?
Because we're still trying, and people are joining on, and people are slowly.
Let me ask you a question.
Or not joining on.
While you get your act together, getting people to clean things up, we're all supposed to stand around and just let this happen, and we can't do anything ourselves. We can't ask you. You know what? Sorry, but you haven't got your act together fast enough. Get out of our park. You're not allowed. We're not allowed to do that. We got to wait for you to clean up.
Who gives? who gives you the right to, you know, put a clarifying on what is fast enough? Can you help us go faster?
You there happens to be a law. I don't know if you care. I don't know if you care about a right to assemble. I don't know if you care about law, but we do have laws about assembly. And we do have laws about sanitation. And it seems like Occupy Wall Street is about civil disobedience, which is fine. But then take your punishment like a man, get into the police paddy wagon, and get arrested.
But like,
that's what I'm saying.
But
that's what civil disobedience is.
Civil disobedience is what? Civil disobedience is taking the arrest?
Yeah, it's taking the arrest. If you're sitting there, ask Martin Luther King. What? You know what? I can't understand this guy. He's going, listen.
All right. Thanks very much, sir, for your call, Adam. I appreciate you attempting to at least clarify.
He didn't clarify diddly squat. He sounds to me like one of those guys who wants to, you know,
why do you say that? He sounded to me, he was saying something that I agreed with. He said, we need a revolution of thought.
Yeah, but he's all, you know, listen, we're trying. Did you hear that?
No, I did not hear that. Good God. You know, you are judgmental. Did you hear what he said, though? He said, there a revolution of thought is needed.
Oh, a revolution of thought. A revolution of thought about what? A revolution of thought about whether we ought to wipe after we go? I'm going to get Honey Berry. Hey, honey.
Look, Vernon, we have to keep this moving.
We'll keep it moving. Hey, honey. Mr. Anderson said, I just said we need a revolution of thought and learn how to wipe. She's drunk.
Who's that?
That's Honey Bear. That's my wife. She's drunk. Drunk as a skunk. You go back to bed, baby. Go back to bed, babe. Look, Phil, I don't need a revolution of thought for me to figure out that I got to wipe, okay? And in order for me to wipe, what do I need? Toilet paper. And in order for me to get toilet paper, I got to have a job. I got to have a job, okay? I got to go to work 5 days a week. I got to work 8 hours a day. And I got to work some 48 weeks out of the year, if I'm lucky, and earn enough money to buy toilet paper so that I can wipe after I go. And this guy's telling me I need a revolution of thought for that?
I don't think that's what he was referring to. He was referring to when we were talking about getting everybody together to clean the place up, right?
Yeah, well, that's what he was saying.
Okay, that they need a revolution of thought. People need to, you know, there needs to be a new way of thinking about things. I personally think that that's true. I don't know that you're going to get that revolution of thought by the means that they've taken, because I think it just looks like you say, one big campground.
No, it's worse than a campground. It's one big outhouse is what it is. It's a big place where you sit and there's a hole, and then there's all that filth. They're in the filth, and the hole, God is sitting over the hole. So you understand what I'm saying?
I can't believe you said what you just said.
Well, I said it, and I'd say it again.
I cannot believe that.
I said it, and I'll say it again. Operation Wall Street is in the filth, and when they look up, there's a big hole in the sky, and that's God's ass sitting down.
I won't, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I won't have that kind of blasphemy. 877-876-PHIL. I'm not going to have it on the show, and
very uncharacteristic of you, Mr. Henry, on account of what you did.
What's uncharacteristic about it? I heard what he's, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can say that without saying that, you know, it's God's you-know-what sitting and, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Pastor William Rennick. Pastor, how are you?
I'm doing good, but I thought I'd call in, and I wanted to, I don't know whether that man is still on the line or not.
Get him back on.
Can I get Vernon Dozier?
Yeah, get Vernon. What's his name, Vernon?
Yeah.
Vernon.
Oh, yeah, Vernon.
Yeah, get it, Vernon. What's the man, Burnman, or whatever? Vernon Dozier.
No, hey, Pastor, this is Robert. His name is Vernon Dozier.
Vernon Dozier, Robert. Get him back on the line. I want to talk to that. That young man, he needs God.
Well, look,
he needs God. No, hold on. He needs God.
Vernon?
What do you want?
Get the pastor.
Vernon, we have Pastor Rennick.
Yeah, Pastor. Vernon, how are you? I'm Pastor William Rennick. How are you? I'm fine. I just... What's wrong? I'm on the show. All right, calm down. Everything's all... You're going to be all right, Vernon. You're going to be all right. Pastor William Rennick is here now.
When I'm here, when Pastor William Lennox shows up, everything's good. Now, what's wrong? Tell Pastor Lennox what's wrong.
Now, come on the show. And all I wanted to say was that Operation Wall Street and everybody messing up.
Everybody messing up.
Yeah. And then I said that the people in Operation Wall Street were like in a septic tank and God's butt was sitting, taking a dump on them.
Yeah.
And we hung up on him.
You hang up on this man?
Yes, I hung up on him. That was blasphemous.
Why'd you hang up? Phil, understand something. What God said. He said, wherever the least of you are.
Well, look, Pat.
Wherever the least. Don't you ever interrupt me. Don't you ever interrupt me. God said, wherever the least of you are. That's where I am. Brother, you believe that?
Uh-huh.
Stanley, this man here is crying for help. This man here is saying no one's hearing him. I was listening to the program out in my car. He talked to that woman he's married to. What's her name, Honey Bear?
Yeah, my name's Honey. I mean, not my name, Herman. Herman.
Her name's Herman?
No, her name is Honey Bear.
Your wife's name is Honey Bear, and she's a drunk, isn't she?
Yes.
She is. Laying there drunk, laying on her ass drunk, ain't she?
Yeah.
You're out there working 5 days a week trying to make a beautiful home for that woman. Trying to give her everything that she could have possibly want in this world, and see her drunk. Laying on a couch drunk.
Yeah.
You come on a program tonight, you're trying to talk about a decent world. A people decent. And now you crying like a woman. That's the part.
Well?
Oh. That's the part I can't take. Phil.
Yeah.
You tell me you had a line on some dolphin tickets.
Get out of here, both of you. I can't take it. Every time he calls up, he's going to start giving me he's giving me the holy roller act. Next thing I know, he's trying to touch me up for football tickets or something.
Yeah, but you told him.
I didn't tell him diddly squat. I said if I still had that dolphin ticket connection, maybe. Do you know how many years it's been, man, since I had my dolphin ticket connection? I ain't been in Miami since, I haven't been in Miami since 1996. Long time ago. Calling me, and he's trying to give this guy the holy roller, and next thing you know, you're crying like a woman. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on a world-famous Phil Henry show. So anyway, as far as I can tell, the cops have that situation, the Occupy Wall Street situation, about as tightly wrapped as it's going to get. And there's just, I don't know. I think that it's a great statement. I think things need to be done. I think Occupy Wall Street has worn out its, whatever its message is, man, the message has been, like, not heard. I don't know. I don't think people get it. I don't think people understand it. I think that... when you talk about the 1% has all the wealth and the 99% don't, that's fine. I understand that you don't think that's fair. I personally don't care. How are you going to get me to care? And I believe me when I tell you, I ain't part of the 1%.
Yeah, well, yeah, you are, sort of.
Yeah. No, I'm not the way I hear that the 1%'s defined. No, I'm not. 877-876-PHIL, 33% break off romance via text, email, or Facebook. That coming up, and more on the Facebook scandal. Yes, that's right, Facebook scandal. That Facebook is being peppered with violent, bestial, and pornographic images. People do not open up any message, don't open up email. Don't do it, man. Don't do it, Barnes. Don't do it. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And we're online at philhenryshow.com each and every night, Monday through Friday. You can check us out there at philhenryshow.com. That is our home base on the web. And it's where we have our live video feed of the show. And we have a lot of BSPs, our backstage pass members who watch us. And they also partake of the thousands of hours of archives, which we are very, very close to having filled out completely. We've got 3 more months from the year 2001 to get up. And once we do that, we begin logging everything. But essentially everything that we've done, every single show that we've done from 1999 all the way on up to the present date will be online at philhendryshow.com. And so with a backstage pass, you'll have access to all of that. You'll be able to download all of that. You'll just be in love with it, man. You'll, you know, you just, I don't know. I can't even, I don't even want to imagine what you'll do. All right. Now, let's get on the line here. I know at Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California, we have not only Ted Bell, but David G. Hall joining us. David, how are you?
I'm doing good, Bill. Ted Bell is here. Bill, hi. Do you want to do it? I'll do it because let me tell you what we're talking about, Bill. I'm having dinner tonight, and I was on my way over here, and Ted Bell is here, and I... You want to do it? I'll do it. And Ted's here. Now, I'm listening to you, and you're talking. I think you were on the air, or you were talking in your pre-show feed. I forget which. And you were talking about LinkedIn.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, LinkedIn. It's called LinkedIn. Okay?
No, I found out.
Bill, it's Ted here.
Go ahead, Ted.
The reason why we're making an issue out of it is because LinkedIn is having some financial situation. A lot of people are selling their stake in it. I happen to have money in LinkedIn. I happen to have a significant amount of money. And I'm watching people, you know, I'm looking at people bailing out. I'm looking at people leaving the ship. I don't want to say rats from a sinking ship. But let's just say that they're not rats so much as they're just a higher level of rodent, if you want.
These are stockholders?
No, there's a lot of people that have a big stake in LinkedIn, and they are leaving. They're selling out. So they're not rats leaving a sinking ship. As I said, they're a higher, you know, David? Yeah, they're a higher level of rodent. Okay?
They're a higher level of rodent leaving LinkedIn, yeah.
All right, well, don't get too impatient, Bill. You're the guy that called it LinkedIn. You know.
I understand.
Well, hold on, Bill. The reason why we're calling is when you call it LinkedIn, and people know that I've got a piece of it, and they also know that I advertise on your show, and they also know that you come into my restaurant, and they know that I also come to your radio station, and they all...
I get it already. So what? So now they think that somehow... LinkedIn or LinkedIn?
Not LinkedIn, LinkedIn. Why do you keep doing that?
I was making a joke. What are they saying? It's worth less?
Yes, it's worth less. They think that now it's called LinkedIn. They think, first of all, they think that Ted Bell, who owns a piece of LinkedIn, is so frivolous with his money that he's in business with some guy that thinks it's called LinkedIn. And so how good could it be? And Ted Bell can't be serious. He's probably going to sell out. And if I ever do sell out, I don't want to be known as a rat from a sinking ship. That's why we're saying higher levels of rodent. You know,
just in case Ted sells?
Yeah, in case Ted sells his stake in LinkedIn, we won't say it's another rat leaving the ship. We can say it's a...
What higher level of rodent would you like it to be?
Well, now look at you copping an attitude. There's no reason to cop an attitude.
I'm not copping an attitude, but I don't want you guys to keep saying that Ted's not a rat fleeing the ship. He's a higher level of rodent. What is that?
What's a higher level of rodent? I mean, he's not a rat, okay?
A field mouse?
What are you, trying to be funny?
No, you are the guys that are saying that you don't want Ted to be seen as a rat fleeing the sinking ship.
I said I don't want people who are seen selling out of LinkedIn to be seen as rats leaving a sinking ship. And I think you're going to increase the exodus when they find out that a guy that I'm in business with calls it LinkedIn. So if there's more and more leaving, I'd but much rather they not be known as rats, especially if I'm one of them.
So I want to just be clear.
Don't start laughing like we're a couple of jackballs and we're not making any sense. You're the guy that ain't making sense.
Hey, look at David. I have about enough of you calling in on behalf of advertisers, on behalf of everybody in the world.
Wait a minute. Phil.
Hold on for a minute. I get enough of you calling on behalf of advertisers, on behalf of hurt feelings of people. So you're never backing me up.
That's not true, Phil.
Shut up. Yes, it is. You're never backing me up. Now you're calling me up with an advertiser, busted on me because I called it LinkedIn. So what?
So what? People are going to start bailing out. Ted's money's going to be worth less. And then they're going to think he's a rat leaving a sinking ship when he's actually
a higher level of rodent. How about if he's a prairie dog?
What is that? What's that?
A prairie dog? Ain't that a rodent?
I don't know. You asked me a higher level of rodent.
Yeah.
How about a rabbit?
Okay, you're a rabbit.
You're a rabbit.
God, listen to his voice. Boy, your voice cracked, Bill.
Hi, I'm Phil Hendry, and you're a rabbit. Hi.
Okay, David, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ted.
Thank you.
Couple of smart asses.
Hi, I'm Phil Hendry, and Ted's a rabbit. He's playing a sick...
World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry, Fred Scotty, and Dan Northcraft. Visit us at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for all your Phil Hendry needs. Backstage pass, thousands of hours of archived material. Of course, our news feed. So many other marvelous features, videos, and TV appearances, and radio appearances. We also, of course, our daily podcast and our daily show. And our video cast and our five-day archive, the Phil Hendry Show, at philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.
Bye.